Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. I will start our meeting with a serenity prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strengths and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting. This morning we'll be hearing from three members of the fellowship who'll be here to share their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. So to start off the sharing, James, would you like to start?
Yep, sure. Thank you. I am James. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, James.
Hi, James.
It's great to be here. It's always a privilege to be able to do this kind of thing. And I guess starting from the beginning, really, I think for myself, you know, I was always an alcoholic, and I guess it was very apparent to those around me right off the bat as soon as I started drinking, just not to myself. I started when I was quite young, and, you know, I always drank alcoholically. I never sort of drank socially or used it as a social lubricant or anything like that. I went to parties exclusively just to get out of my own head, really, and I did that by imbibing alcohol and other substances. And almost immediately, my immediate social circle noticed that there was something odd with my behavior, and I started to lie and steal, and you couldn't really trust me around alcohol or around your own possessions, really, as my behaviour sort of just worsened almost immediately. There was no sort of gradual slip into depravity or anything like that. It was just, it just seems to be how I was sort of made, you know. I drank to stop how I was feeling and what I was thinking, and block out what was happening in my life, and I just it had disastrous consequences of, and I had absolutely no control. I would black out almost every night and not be able to remember what I did the following morning. And I started when I was about 15, and I was still in school, and my attendance slipped and my grades slipped, and then I was using at school, and the people, the teachers and students tried to bail me up on my behaviour, and it just sort of fell on deaf ears. And eventually they just asked me if I'd like to leave or they could kick me out, and I chose to leave, and I found a full-time job to sort of fund my habit. My parents were losing their hair over what to do with me. They tried to get me into therapy and CADs and other sort of forms of addressing my problems with alcohol and addiction, and I guess mainly in part because I wasn't sort of interested at all in recovery or didn't even think that I had a problem at all. Those things didn't work for me, and I would just lie and manipulate, and my behavior was growing ever steadily worse as well, and I began to get in trouble with the cops, and I lost my peer group as a result of my behavior, just through lies and not being, like, just not, generally not being a good friend. And I lost all contact, basically, with anyone that was sort of a genuine part of my life. And I sought out people that sort of drank like me. and were into the kind of stuff that I was into. And we got into a lot of trouble together, and I started hanging out in sordid places. And for whatever reason, I just couldn't see the way that my life was going, and that my future was sort of dimming, and that a life worth living was slipping out of my grasp, pretty much. Eventually, I guess the people still in my life were just my parents, really, and they eventually came to the end of their rope, and my mum asked me to leave. I moved in with my dad, and very shortly after that, he also asked me to leave, and he said that I could stay if I did one of each of the meetings that were in one of each fellowship. And I didn't really want to end up in the same places that my friends were in, and I decided that I would just try to do these meetings just to appease him, pretty much. And I started going to two a week, and I would just walk into those rooms and keep my eyes on the ground and not talk to anyone and just avoid contact. Like, I was still in the throes of addiction. I had no intention to stop. I didn't really think that I had a problem. It was all just, if anything, it was quite funny to me that I had ended up here. And I thought very quickly it was just a fad for my parents, and it would pass, and I'd be able to carry on as I'd been carrying on. And I started going to AA, leaving as soon as it finished, going out and getting wasted, and then coming back the next day. And I guess for me, it was sort of like I can sort of see for the first time that you know, there's something amiss. You know, other people don't seem to do this; they don't seem to have the problems that I sort of have. And I became aware that the literature that was being read out in those meetings and what people were talking about in their sharing, I was identifying with quite strongly on a sort of deep level, and it was resonating with me despite myself. And I really identified with what they termed as mental thinking and behavior. They talked about the mental obsession and the physical allergy, and that was true for myself. You know, as soon as I thought about alcohol and drinking, as soon as I opened my eyes in the morning and as soon as I touched the first drop, I couldn't stop at one, and it would just very quickly escalate from there. For me, you know, the program's principles and what's on offer here didn't appeal at first. You know, I sort of thought to myself, honesty and showing up and fronting up and making amends and restitution and all that kind of stuff, I didn't want anything of it. You know, I was still young, and I didn't think that my life was that bad. But as I sort of drank or came to meetings and went home and drank, you know, the bottom came up a bit really quickly. And I'd sit in those meetings and look around at these people. They were mainly quite a bit older than me and had done all these more extreme things than I had. And I'd use that to differentiate myself from me and them, and basically block me off from the solution to a problem that I didn't know that I had. And when I'd go out just for a night and come back in the morning, those yets would creep ever closer. And for the first time, I could see that my life was slipping into a place where I didn't want it to go. And I realized that I had to stop drinking, and I tried to do it on my own. You know, I didn't want to do this program. It's not appealing on paper to me, and you know, I didn't believe in God or anything like that, or want anything to do with religion or what I thought was a religious program. And for me, the sobriety that I could achieve off my own will wasn't sort of worth it. You know, prior to Alcoholics Anonymous, alcohol was my higher power, and, you know, my life revolved around it, and I depended upon it. And deprived of that solution, you know, I just went mental, and my alcoholism kicked in, and my head drove me insane, and all those feelings that I had drunk to suppress returned, and I just couldn't stand being in my own skin. And I think, for me, it was worse just as bad, if not worse, when I was sober, without another solution to replace alcohol or other substances. And I guess for me, I came to the end of myself within Alcoholics Anonymous, stone cold sober. And that's what drove me to take a huge risk, or what I thought was a huge risk, and ask someone for help and genuinely mean it and be willing to accept what that person was offering. And, you know, he said that he worked the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and if I didn't want to do that, then I could find someone else. And so it had sort of come down to this sort of crossroads between accepting the solution that was absolutely, like, repugnant to me, or killing myself because I just couldn't stand the way I was feeling without a drink, or going back to drinking. And, you know, I chose the spiritual solution, and I started to do the suggested things. You know, I started to do service at my home group. I started to talk to people with less sobriety than myself. I started greeting and washing the dishes and all this kind of stuff. And I met up with my sponsor and called him on a regular basis. And slowly but surely, he got me to take actions that were counterintuitive to what my head was saying, to what my head was telling me to do. And, you know, today I know that the disease of alcoholism centers in my mind, and it tries to cut me off from sunlight of the spirit and of a higher power. And if I listen to those thoughts, then, you know, I don't really get a reprieve from my alcoholism. I have to sort of have a faith in something else other than myself in order to have a chance. And it's just, for me, I believe that I was beyond human aid, even though I was young. And I had to accept that I had to do stuff differently in order to get a different result. And some days I'm really good at doing that those things, and sometimes I'm not. And it's dependent on, like, my spiritual maintenance. And as a result, you know, I want to be sober. I have an enjoyable life sober, and it's changed in a mammoth way. You know, I think I stopped growing when I touched alcohol, and I've begun to grow again. My life has expanded outward. And it's nothing that I've done. It's a gift from a power greater than myself that I've come in contact with through working this program. And, you know, I had to be desperate to be able to do it genuinely and sincerely. But the results are undeniable, and, you know, I'm grateful to be here, and thanks for letting me share.
Great. Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on AA Meeting on Air on 104.6 Planet FM. And we have members of the fellowship on this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. So to continue with the sharing, Elizabeth, would you like to share?
Thanks. Hi, my name's Elizabeth and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Thanks, James, for that sharing. It was... It's always interesting to hear the similarities. We're taught in the fellowship to listen for the similarities, not the differences, because one thing we all share is the impact that alcohol has had on us and our way of thinking, and the way our brains will actively work against us if we do not work the program. So similarities too with James is that I realised early on, well, I didn't actually realise earlier on, but I clearly was an alcoholic from the get-go. A happy child, but early adolescence, this creeping dis-ease came in, and I started to feel very uncomfortable about myself on every level, physically, socially, mentally. Just felt really poorly made and had a tendency to isolate, didn't feel comfortable around other people. So my first recollection of drinking was being home on a Saturday night, and I would have been 13, 14. I suspect all my peers were out socialising normally, probably drinking too, but doing it socially. I was hiding, isolating at home, and found some vodka that was left over from a dinner party, and I just drank half a bottle of vodka and started bouncing off the walls. And that was my first experience of drinking, and that's how basically my drinking carried on. That's how I drank, to get drunk. I never understood the idea of conviviality, of having a drink with another person. When someone said, "Do you want to come for a drink?" I always saw that as a euphemism, because a drink meant nothing to me. I used to drink to get drunk, and that's what I did all my life. So I navigated my adolescence and early adulthood. I didn't drink every night to start with because I couldn't afford to, but it's a progressive illness. And by the end of my drinking, which was 3 years ago, I was drinking every night into blackout, and I do not know how I got to that point, how it crept up like that. I often ask my husband, was I like this when I met you? And he said, no, you weren't. You didn't drink every night. But that's how it became, and that's the scary thing about alcohol. It's progressive, and it's cunning, and it's baffling, and it's really, really powerful. I would struggle with that every day. It was like Groundhog Day. I would say, I'm not going to drink tonight, and I'd get into my walking clothes, and I'd go, if I can get for a walk, I won't drink. I'd go, I'm not going to drink. Next thing, I would be by the fridge pulling out the wine, and that was it. I wasn't going for a walk. And that was the latter stages where I was completely and utterly powerless to alcohol. But it was a really slow and steady journey. And I think my lofty title is a high-functioning alcoholic, which is nothing to be proud of. It just meant I was able to function at a level in society. So I often went under the radar. I got an education, a tertiary education. I got a profession. I raised three kids, and for all intents and purposes, looked like I was leading a full and healthy life. But the progression of this journey is that my life became narrower and narrower, and at the end I felt like I was looking down a tunnel, and all the stuff out the side had disappeared. And I came to the end of myself 3 years ago when I actually, for the first time ever, it started to impact on my job. And I'd taken a day off work because I had a hangover, and it was that day too that I thought, I can't carry on like this, and I rocked up into AA, and I was where I was meant to be. I got pulled in, and I was wrapped around really by a wonderful woman who said, right, you need to get a book, you need to get a sponsor, you need to follow the steps. And this was my first meeting, and I had no idea, but I just was so lost and confused and beaten and broken that I thought, I will do whatever you tell me. And so AA set me on the right path, really. Like James, I didn't believe in a God, and that was part of my problem. I actually thought I was the center of the universe, and I think a lot of alcoholics do. We think we're special, and that we are in control. And I spent a lot of my life, I still do if I let it, controlling, trying to control, and it's enormously exhausting. And it's no wonder you want to come home at the end of the day and drink, because, you know, battling the world is tiring, because people just will not do what you want them to do. They will not think how you want them to think. And I learned that in AA, that I'm not the center of the universe. And actually it's been quite liberating to realize I'm a person among people. So I thank AA for that gift of humility, because I was not humble. I thought I was, but actually I was arrogant and angry a lot of the time. I thank AA very much for the humility. It keeps me on track. AA has been the rock, and when I have strayed from the program, my alcoholic thinking is just sitting there, and it will come straight back. And although I have not been tempted to pick up a drink, God forbid, one day at a time, I have not had a drink, if I do not follow the program, my stinking thinking becomes very stinking, and I lose that freedom that I want in my sobriety, and I become a servant of my mind again, and it will tell me to do really stupid, crazy things, and it will turn against me, and it will lock me into this loop of negative thinking. And that's exhausting too, and it's exhausting for everyone around you. So I try to follow the program as much as possible, and that doesn't mean that my life is perfect. It is not. It means that I now have the tools to handle it. There's some fantastic sayings in AA, and the ones I need to remember are just for the day. You just need to get through the day sometimes, because for me, a lot of my problem is thinking ahead into the future and making up problems that haven't happened yet, and then working myself up into a frenzy about them. For AA, it reminds me, look, just for today, just do today, and things become manageable. And actually, sometimes it's just do the next right thing if you become, you know, paralyzed with fear. And it just breaks my life down into manageable chunks and stops my brain, my alcoholic brain, from whirling off into the future or residing in the past, neither of which are particularly, you know, happy places. A, you can't control your future. B, the past is the past. You've done. You need to not shut the door on it, but don't dwell on it because you can't change it. So those are things that have been really helpful for me. I find the Serenity Prayer really, really useful too. It reminds me to take stock of what I can control and what I can't, and to hand over my day instead of trying to control everything. I think that's all I have to say for today. I have, you know, other parts to my story, but for me, the hope that AA has given me, the serenity it's given me, and the fellowship it's given me has been priceless. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Elizabeth. You're on 104.6 Planet FM, listening to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, meeting on air. And this morning we had members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. So to continue on with the sharing, Claudia, would you like to share?
Sure. Hi, thanks. My name's Claudia and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Claudia.
It's very liberating to be able to say that. When I was growing up, just like the other guys, I also immediately just started off saying, oh, okay, cool, there's alcohol. Finally, I can get a chance to get completely out of it. As I grew up, I too thought that it was a euphemism when people would say, let's go for a drink. Well, first off, we didn't. As you can tell from my accent, I grew up in New Zealand. We'd go to the park, we'd go to the beach, and we'd go to parties. And I became one of those people that could last maybe 2 or 3 hours of socialising, and then I would be collapsed, or I'd be passed out, or I'd be vomiting somewhere. And I remember, like, really often, like, my party trick was basically to pass out and wake up and keep going. And I remember just feeling like, yeah, man, I know what I'm doing here. You guys should be applauding me and should be noticing this. I am doing it right. I left home and I left the country and I moved to Australia, and later on I moved to London, and I did all these, you know, amazing different places. But I tell you, the exact same thing happened. I'd be working in a job that was either temporary contract or you know, part time. I never really had anything going in terms of a career. I never studied. I felt like I immediately had to move out of the house and support myself, and I'd work in these data entry or, you know, just basic admin-y jobs that I could get just because I knew how to use a computer. And then as soon as I'd get paid, the ultimate goal was, great, I can get out of it again now. I can get out of it again now. And I tell you, like, 18 years of that, it gets quite startling. You know, when you start counting up the fact that I've been doing this for 18 years, I've never really had a career. I've never really had a job that I could be proud of. I've never really succeeded anywhere. I have been fired over 30 times in my life. Yet I know how to drink and do anything I can to get out of my brain. I'm not sure if I'm explaining this very well, but basically, my week would be like this. I would, Sunday night, I wouldn't drink. I'd go to work Monday and I'd do as much work as I could because I knew that by Friday, you know, nothing would be happening. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, as much as I could, like, let's go out, let's go to a jazz cafe, let's go to that cafe, let's go to, you know, this place or that place, you know, constantly trying to create any kind of social environment, you know, let's go to art gallery openings, anything to make it look good, but it had to have alcohol. I'd been kicked out of numerous cinemas at this point because I was drinking. While you're allowed to or you're not allowed to, I would still be drinking. And then I'd start talking through the films, and when we'd go out and there'd be a band playing, I'd be yelling over them just to keep talking. It was just gross behavior. Thursday, Friday, Saturday night were definite blackouts. Towards the last year of my drinking, I didn't get to go out very much. I remember one particular time of leaving work at 5 o'clock and being in the pub by 5:10 on my own, where I had two very large, I had two pints. I got home, I opened the fridge, I had another massive, a couple of cans there while I had a shower and got ready. On the way walking to the restaurant, I brought what I thought the restaurant might be or might not be BYO. I sort of texted a friend, found out it wasn't going to be BYO, and started walking really fast to get to the restaurant because it was like, oh, well, I can't have one on the way. I got to the restaurant and I downed two as quickly as I could before anybody turned up. People turned up. By the time dinner got served, I had about another four. And I was rushing, like I was eating food as quickly as I could. I was trying to talk to everybody as much as possible, so I had made sure I'd made contact with everybody. And then I promptly left because the anxiety that was going on inside me was all of these things are getting in the way of what I want to do, and that is drink. And I went home, got those cans back again, and I drank for 4 hours on my own. That was a bit of a sort of a rock bottom. So in AA we talk about the fact that you have to hit bottom to be able to look for a solution. And so that was a little bit of one. Feeling that anxiety of, I can't do anything without alcohol anymore, and realizing that, and then realizing, I don't care. This is what I want to do. This is all I want to do. And then there's that little voice inside your head saying, look around. Nobody else is doing this. Look around. You can't even hang out with your friends anymore. You can't even go to dinner anymore. You can't do anything. So when that starts happening to you, you have all manner of things that go completely and utterly wrong. And if you're lucky enough, like I was, you know about AA. You know nothing about how it works or what you're meant to do, but you go along anyway. When I walk into a room, I see something very different these days. But when I first walked in, it was quite scary. I didn't know what was expected of me, and I didn't know what was going to happen. But I tell you, you're going to walk into a room of people that have all of the experience in the world, that have gone and been exactly where you are, and will teach you how to get out of it. It's a real nuts and bolts, real practical information about, okay, if you don't want to drink, this is how I stopped drinking. This is how you can too, if you want to take my suggestions. You know, I had things like, have a glass of lemonade when you want to drink. I had no idea that I could start substituting. I had no idea I could walk on the other side of the road if I wanted to avoid a pub. I had no idea that I could find a group of people that also didn't drink and actually have a really good time with them. So I didn't have to be feeling like I have to go at home and sit alone and just stay sober and just be miserable. No, I found Alcoholics Anonymous and it was fantastic. It became such a resource for me to be able to go, okay, I don't know how to keep a job. I don't know what to do with my weekends. I don't know how not to have massive freakouts and then go on a massive binge because I'm really unhappy that something happened. And everywhere you turn in Alcoholics Anonymous, there's somebody who's done it before you. There's someone who's done it bigger and better than you. That's what we call our experience, strength, and hope. I really hope that you find what you're looking for, and I hope that it works out very well for you, because it's worked out extremely well for me. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Claudia. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we've had members of the fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength, and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. This brings us towards the end of our meeting, and if you've identified with what you've heard from the speakers this morning and you'd like some help with your drinking, you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in the local Auckland area or in the local national area. You can also log on to aa.org.nz, and this will give you a list of all meetings in the greater Auckland area and up and down the country. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 a.m. With AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.